that 70 the last day. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Jude and get a refresher in that particular book, as also as we see what the Lord can teach us here. The book is really about warning us about these last days, about false teachers, people creeping into the church. The book is about examples of those that have become false teachers, what happened to them, and also the end of the book is really how we shall live during the last days as we enter in this church, as we enter an age where there's still many false teaching taking place within the church. So Jude is the second to last book in the New Testament. It's Revelation is the last book, and then just before then is a short book of Jude. And for those on the internet, they're telling me they're not seeing the picture. So, unfortunately, that's what happens when you have to use the machine and this at the same time. Let's pray. Okay, it's God to lead in this prayer. Father God, we come before you now and thank you for this precious day given to us. We thank you for your love that's shown forth to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this time, O Father, as we read God's word, that you would just bless us here. Help us to be discerning and to know the truth. Help us, O Father, that you would live a life that's pleasing to you. We ask, O Father, we thank you that we can read today of your love towards us, your care towards us. We thank you, God, that your mercy is new every morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can receive the goodness of God today. May the word of God completely bless us now as we read it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Let's start again. The book of Jude. It says in Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, called mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, I will give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word as he's promised. So we looked the last time in the book of Jude, as the next verse would have described, there are many people who have crept into the church and have speaking false and have delivered false teaching. But as we start here this book, who is Jude? Jude was written, it says here, around 65 AD. It's written to the believers, and Jude describes himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. He's a and a brother of James. A servant is someone who is considered to be a slave. And here it is, Jude says, I'm a slave. Many times in the scripture we've looked before, it says that Paul had described him being a servant. Not only Paul and Peter, all of them described him being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're all to be servants of the Lord. We're all to preach, we're all to talk, we're all to proclaim the Lord Jesus, and we are to be a servant. It was clearly identified in Acts chapter 16 that when one of the Paul was out there preaching God's word, and he was in Philippi, and one of the women who had a demonic spirit had cried out, saying that these men are servants of the Most High, they're slaves of the Most High. And they show us the way of salvation. It's a beautiful thing that we can be a servant of God and to show people the way of salvation. And that's what we're called to do. And the result of that, they were cast into prison for doing God's work. Well, here, Jude identifies himself as a servant. James identifies himself as a servant. And many times, Peter, all have identified themselves as a servant or a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're all to do that with holiness We're all to be servants unto righteousness, and we're all to heal ourselves as members, not to uncleanness and to iniquity, but now as servants to righteousness and holiness unto God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19 talks about that. So we find here that in this scripture, in Galatians chapter 3, some of these things I have to repeat again because I started to study the book to get on to the previous verses. I couldn't do it without recapping it myself because I've been away for so long. And so here I'm just repeating some things to you that you should understand the history of why Jude was here written. But as for us, Galatians 3 and verse 26 to 20 says, 28 says, "For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, but we are all one in Christ." As we serve the Lord, there's no difference. We're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the book here reminds us here that we need to be vigilant before the Lord. We need to be strong, and we need to keep the faith in spite of what is going on around us. And the theme of the book here is that there's false teachers that's actually roaming in this place. There are people here in many churches who are, as they say, they came in through the side door to deliver and deceive people. And Jude is actually warning us about this in the last days. And we're supposed to keep the faith, be strong in the Lord. The end of Jude talks about that we're supposed to build up ourselves in the most holy faith. And there's about seven different phrases that we'll learn later in Jude. So let's look at the servant of Jesus Christ and what it means. We just kind of dwell on that for a second. We want to look back. Okay, so Jude, as we were describing here, I'll get to it in a second. He was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And James is also, he was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as James, that is written here. He says he's the brother of James. We can find some scriptures to support this as we find here later in life. His family. Let's turn in the gospel and we'll find what it means. So turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Again, a refresher, Matthew chapter 13, and we'll find who Jude was. Matthew 13. And verse 53, it came to pass that after Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed hence, and when he had come into his own country, he taught in a synagogue, inasmuch as they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom?" Again, we learn to Lord Jesus. "And these mighty works. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, and Joseph, Joas, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, and all they that were, and all they, not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And the passage there in verse 55, the last verse, Judas, is another word for Jude. And here he is. Here is Jesus' family that's mentioned. And we find here that his own family was offended of his ministry. Here it is. Even James and Judas, which is called Jude. And then we can turn over to John chapter 7. It's about the Gospel of John chapter 7. And some more descriptions is given here about the relationship with his family. In John 7, and verse 4. Just jump in. Go back to the beginning of the chapter. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee as he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart, his brethren is his brothers and sisters, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may also see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. And then Jesus said, My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hated me, because I testify of it. The works thereof are evil. Go up unto this feast. I go not up unto the feast, for my time is not yet fulfilled. When he had said these words, he abode still in Galilee. So we find here that in this particular passage, that his own brethren did not believe in the Lord Jesus. His own family did not believe in him. When did they believe in the Lord Jesus? We looked the last time in Acts chapter 1. After the resurrection. After the resurrection, we find that they actually believed in him. So Acts chapter 1 again, it just speaks of the few words in which we find here of the Lord Jesus, chapter 1 and verse 12. And it says in chapter 1, verse 12, Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had come in, they went to the upper room, and they abode with him Peter and James and John, and Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and the brother, and Judas, the brother of James. These all were in one accord in prayer and supplication with women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we find it was after the resurrection that they all believed on him, and that's when they realized who this person was. Jude was indeed a servant of the Lord Jesus. He was the brother of James. And we find here that he now believed in Jesus. We find that he did not consider himself a brother of Jesus, as he said here, but actually a servant. Not a brother, but a servant. And one passage would say, they knew him no longer after the flesh. He's now a savior. They knew him as a savior. That's how they know him. So let's look at some of the words in which Jude had prescribed. He says here that to them that are sanctified, he's writing the letter, to them that are sanctified by God. And sanctification has the idea of being separated, to be holy, dedicated, and separated. And we are to be sanctified. The scripture says that we look at a couple of words here. How are we sanctified? We're sanctified by his blood. That's a wonderful possession that we have here, that we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says that in Hebrews chapter 9. In many other verses in Hebrews, talk about the fact that we are also sanctified by him. By one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. We're sanctified again through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And so the word here, sanctification, should really, as I said before, should word used beloved. We are beloved by God. The scripture had talked about many aspects of being beloved of God. The nation of Israel is being beloved by God. And we know, naturally, the world is being beloved by God. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that who should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world. He loved us. Even though he made you, he wants us to understand that you can be loved by him. Some verses that we can look at here talks about the aspect how we can be loved by God is in John chapter 14 and verse 21. It just says, he that heareth my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. I will manifest myself unto him. You are loved by God if you keep his commandments. The other aspect here is that you are loved by God if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of verses, a couple of chapters over in John 16 and verse 27, it says, "For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from God." The Father loved you because you have loved me, Jesus is saying. And then we find here that your love for God comes after recognizing that God loves you. And that's towards the end of the Bible again in 1 John chapter 4. You find in verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his only Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so here is it, that no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And it says in verse 19 of 1 John chapter 4, we love him because he first loved us. So this is the love we have. We love God because he loved us. We find here in scripture, talks about the many in John 17. It says that God, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking about the fathers and how he's speaking of the disciples, and he's also speaking of us, that how we are loved by God. And God loves you because he loves the Lord Jesus, right? That was first love me. And we find here, so that's really the love that we're talking about. We're beloved, beloved of God, he's saying there, of the Father. We're beloved, sanctified by the Father, by God the Father. The other word is really, we're beloved by God the Father. The Trinity is going to be coming out here. So, a little bit down the road there, it says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. It says it back in Jude and verse 21. So we're keeping ourselves in the love of God because we are loved by God the Father. The other aspect of our life, of a believer, is that, as Jude is writing here, it says we are preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved in Jesus Christ. It's good to know that we have been protected, guarded, we've been kept, we've been carefully taken care of as we think of one who is preserved in Jesus Christ. How far would Jesus go to preserve you and I? And it says there in John chapter 13 and verse 1 and 2, it talks about Jesus is saying, all the way to the ends of the world. I can just read these words. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." We're loved all the way to the end of the world. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, it talks about the fact that we are saved to the uttermost, all the way to the end. So that's how much our God loves us, all the way to the very end. And we're thankful to God that we have been preserved by him. As we think of the prayers in which our Lord Jesus Christ had, at a time that he was supposed to depart, just before the crucifixion, he was praying, prayed for the disciples, that they are kept by him. And he's also praying for us. And he said, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me," which is the disciples, "that they may be one as we are one. But he also prayed, he says, and I keep them in thy name, and those that thou givest me I have kept. And none of them was lost except the son of perdition, which was Judas, his carrot at that time, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But he says, I pray not that thou shalt take them out of this world, but thou shalt keep them from evil. Think of the fact that he's asking God to preserve the disciples there from evil, and we are also, in a sense, preserved from evil. Think of the words in which our Lord Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, talks about the fact that we are to preserve from evil. So, keep them from evil. That's the prayer that God has from their wrongs. And so we have here, we've been kept by God. We've been preserved by God, by our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think of the words, the end in verse 21 in Jude, it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We are preserved. We think of the words, keeping the Lord Jesus Christ. His words have been kept forever, have been kept alive, in that we can trust in him at all times. We can trust in him at all times, looking unto him who is our Savior and our God. John chapter 10 talks about this fact that God is our strength and the Lord is our keeping power. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, some famous words, it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I've given unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which giveth them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so we have this idea that we've been kept by God. We've been kept inside the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is also kept in the Father's hand, God the Father's hand. And no one is able to take you away from him. So we have this wonderful strength and power to be preserved and kept by God, the Father, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are preserved unto Him. We can think of the fact that when we are preserved in Him, we are in Jesus Christ, we're preserved for, in a sense, to be blameless. It says here in Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also perform it. So we have the fact here that not only are we preserved in Jesus Christ, but we're preserved till his coming. Till his coming. The other aspect here is that we are called. We are called. And we think of the fact that, again, you can look at this as the Holy Spirit. We are called. So the idea of called being here, if many are called, the scripture says, and few are chosen, many are called. And we thank God today that he has chosen us from the beginning. From the beginning of the world, we were chosen by him. And that comes really a couple words in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And so we are chosen by, called by our Lord from the beginning. And we think of the fact that our Lord, we are called of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're also called in Romans chapter 1 and verse 6. As Paul was writing to the church, he says he was studying the book of Romans on Wednesday night. He's writing to the church there in Rome, and he says there, in verse 6, he says, among you also are called of Jesus Christ, to all that is in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called unto him. We're called saints, as we just read here. And many times in scripture we find that the word that we're called saints, a saint, again, is someone who has been set apart, and so therefore we've been called saints. Very rare for us to look at one another and say hello, St. Matthew, to the back, and St. Matthew in the front. We're all called saints before God for those who have trusted in Him. Okay? It's used in a different context today, but a saint is someone who has been holy, someone who's sacred, people have been justified, you've been sanctified, you've been accepted in the beloved. And that's who we are. We've been separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called saints. And God has a plan for your life. As we can think about being called, He has a plan for your life. And we can just look at that in Romans, again, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. This is the beautiful fact that we've been called. This is our... And all things work together for good to them that love the God and to them which are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And the idea there, these big words that we find here, God has decided, He has determined, predetermined for us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. It's just a beautiful words that we've been made, we've been called by God, we've been invited, been called by Him. It's a predetermined after the fact here. We're predetermined, we come to know Christ and we realize that God has been calling us. And therefore, and then He made us justified, He made us righteous. And then He also made us glorified. He makes us glorious. Now we look at our lives and say, that is not me. But in the eyes of God, under the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that's who we are. That's the position that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been called saints. We've been called, but we've been called saints. We've been called to a life where we are righteous and glorious before Him. And there are many, many, many aspects to being called in Scripture. And some of them are going to show up here. We're called unto fellowship, association with the Lord Jesus Christ there. In 1 Corinthians, we've been called the children of God, beloved, a man of love, the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. And so that's a blessed position that we have with God the Father, that we've been called His children. And also, we've been called unto grace. And that's mentioned many times in Scripture, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. We're also, many times, yes, Galatians 1 and Galatians 3. And so we find here that there are many, many scriptures and passages talk to the fact that we've been called unto grace and also we've been called unto liberty. God has given us a liberty, a freedom that we have, and it's not an occasion for us to commit sin, but we no longer, but by love, we serve one another. We serve one another. We have a liberty, a freedom, a wonderful relationship with God, that we should not be slaves to sin, but we should be free to do what God wants to do in our lives and to glorify Him by demonstrating His love and service towards others. What a freedom we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we think of the fact that another aspect falls up here, that we've been called to live in a suitable manner, a godly manner, before this world. Ephesians 4 talks about that. I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy in the calling, in the vocation, in wherein you are called. And we're to walk humbly, we're to walk lowly, in meekness, in long suffering, and we're to walk in patience, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bondage of peace. So here it is, many different verses that relates to the fact that our lives have been called into a certain aspect of our life to be humble and to walk worthy before our Lord. And then we have here, and we've been called, again, is to have peace. God is to be controlling in our lives. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says there, we should put on, as the elect of God, holy beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness in mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel, even as Christ has forgiven you, you also do the same. And above all things, we are to put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which you are called in one body. It's an amazing thing to have God ruling in our lives and giving us peace throughout all of the circumstances that we may have. And it also says here to be called for peace even in our marriage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15, we're called unto peace between spouses and everything else. So we have also a holy calling. And it says here, Peter described to us that we have a holy calling before God. He has saved us, and he has called us with a holy calling, not according to our standard of living, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given, which was given in Christ before the world began. It's amazing. In Christ, before the world began. And we're also called to be holy. Be holy, as the scripture says, as I am holy. So there are some good callings, some good invitations that we have in life, as we can think of the words in which Jude puts their writing. He says here, Jude, the servant of Christ. The servant, and it says here, of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified, beloved of God, really preserved in Christ, in Jesus Christ, and are called. So mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. As we think of these words of where the scripture says, mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. What is that? Mercy is withholding judgment that we deserve. So we have the mercy of God unto us, and implying that every believer, we have failed before God, and yet we look unto the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life. And again, in Jude, verse 21, it speaks about that. It says we have, Jude is saying, I want you to have peace, a peace that only Christ can give. And Jesus was saying in John chapter 14 and verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not that the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We're supposed to have a peace that God has given to us, a peace in the midst of the storms of life. Our Lord Jesus was leaving the disciples at the time when he was supposed to go towards the cross of crucifixion. They heard about it. They were in denial of it. And our Lord Jesus was giving them that the Holy Ghost is going to come. And before that, he wants to give you a certain peace that's going to be occurring in your life. And then we have here the love of God. The love of God. It's good to know that we've been looking today at some verses relating to God so love us. And so we said, we're in verse 21 of Jude, it says, keep yourself in the love of God. So we have God loving us, and we've also been asked to keep ourselves. So two sides, the constant joy of knowing that God indeed loves us, and the constant relationship that we have, and we want to keep ourselves in the love of God. And this is what happens when you have false teachings that are taking place. You have to read the scripture to understand what God says. Read it for ourselves and then ask questions. And therefore, when people come for and tells you of other things, you wonder, oh, it sounds good, but is it really good? It's Acts. The scripture says that you should know what it is to discern what people are saying. We're sanctified by God. We've been beloved of God. We've been preserved in Jesus Christ. And we are therefore called unto Him. And we thank God that all these things happen because He loves us. The Trinity is shown forth here. Mercy, peace, and love. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, we have His mercy. The Holy Spirit, who gives us the strength to have peace. And then we have the love of God, the Father. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this still precious time in which we can just meditate upon You, reflect, O Father, the position that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The position we have through Him, by His blood, cleansing us and making us whole, as we can stand righteous before You, and we can stand boldly before You, God, as and You look at our lives and say today, Lord, I don't measure up to these standards. But we thank God that it's not in ourselves, but through Your work in the Holy Spirit and through Your work in which You have done on the cross many years ago, that our God looks upon us and He sees us differently than how the world sees us. But we ask, O Father, that we, as we live our lives to the world, we live our lives to be holy, we live our lives to be pleasing unto You and to do Your acceptable will. Father, we thank You that we can begin to examine this book and we can learn of the joy that we can have in our salvation. We can learn, Father, that we will not be taken away by any words that comes across our ears. That we ask, O Father, to read the scripture and ask for Your understanding of the Spirit of God of God. We thank You, God, today that we've been sanctified with the blood of God. We thank You, God, we have Your mercy, we have Your truth. May You help us this week as we go forward. Bless You.
That's good, that's good.